Hey, have you ever felt like you're doing everything right but still not succeeding? Or maybe you've just felt like, man, I can't get over this hump. I start and then I stop. You're probably not lazy. You might just be missing a framework or a structure that's going to help you. On today's episode, I'm here with Pastor Joel, and we are going to go over some keys to success in our life. You talking to Pastor Joel, he came up with a nice little acronym for us, like any good preacher would. And so we want to go over those topics. Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Joel, and we are so excited that you joined us today. As always, want to encourage you to stick through all the way through. Is that the right way to say that? Stay tuned all the way through. We're going to have a good time today, a good talk, as we talk about success.
Success, a big word.
Yeah, it's a big success. Double the C, double the S, and you will spell success. That's how I learned how to spell that. Is that how you learned?
Well, what I've come to find out is a lot of people talk about it, but they don't know how to kind of really understand it fully, especially according to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to attempt to do today.
Yeah, and so you came up with kind of a few... I guess would it be just ideas that we could implement in our life that would eventually, you know, if we implement these ideas, we will find success in these areas. Now, success can be defined in and of itself. Or do you have a way of how you want to define success? Because you said, you know, there's all kinds of ways.
There is. I look at the framework of the way people that so-called are successful, the way they reframe a definition, when it comes to the Word of God, the biblical definition of success is it's pretty wide and broad, but it's also pretty narrow. So what we want to launch to do today is talk about success with the three C's, which is clarity, consistency, and commitment.
Yeah.
Just cover those three.
Yeah, well, so we can start off with clarity. And clarity can mean a couple of things. It could be clarity individually, right? Just having clarity in our life, or even clarity in this case of what success is.
Right.
Right. But I think what we can do from the biblical perspective for those watching that, again, in this Rock Life podcast, we try to cover topics and have conversations that we believe will help us where we're at today, help you right where you're at on your commute, on the errand that you're doing while you listen to this or watch this podcast, that you can implement these conversations, or that these conversations will edify you, build you up, encourage you today.
Right.
And so I think it's important to get some clarity and find clarity in your life about what you want your life to look like. I think biblically what I've noticed and what we see in scripture, that clarity is a God thing, right? God does not, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about that God is not the author of confusion,
that's right,
but rather of peace.
Right.
Right. So I think one of those things, you know, we desire to have peace in our life. But sometimes, you know, and I love this because Aaron's here with us today behind the camera. And we talk about this all the time. You sent me a meme about Christianese. But some of our Christianese speak about, oh, I just didn't have a peace about it. Or I'm looking for that peace in my spirit. And really what we're saying is, man, I don't feel good about that. There's maybe some confusion about something. So we desire to have a peace about decisions that we're making.
Yeah.
So there are people that, you know, you could be listening and you're in the middle of a decision, a life decision, a relationship, a job, a financial decision, and you're desiring some clarity in that. And again, that's why I believe the scripture points us to that God is the author of having a peace and not confusion. So there's a few practical things that I think we can do. One, and I'll just start with this because I think sometimes it's often overlooked for whatever reason. We either over-spiritualize things, but gathering all the information.
Right.
Find out, do the research. Find out, get all the information before we jump on something, before we go down a path that sometimes we can't easily back out of. Let's gather the information.
All right.
Do the work, do the research, find out what it is that we're go into a decision with all your bases covered.
But why is that so hard for individuals to do?
I think we're emotional, right? I think we go into it with our emotion, whether it's a positive thing. Hey, we hear the good. Oh, look at this job is this salary and this going to do this. And they told me it was going to be better than my last and this was going to happen. And, you know, we get painted a good picture.
Right.
And like the old adage goes, we think the grass is greener over there. but we didn't get clarity as to, well, didn't you know that it's going to change your schedule? And once you do that, it's actually a little bit further away. And you did the research to see that it's only 5 miles further, but did you know that 5 miles in opposite direction actually takes 30 more minutes?
Right.
So now you're adding an hour to your commute, and you're going to sit in your car, and that's going to bring you, you know, anxiety. And so, again, clarity as to into our decisions.
So why is it so convoluted? How come is our culture, because I believe our culture needs to clarify certain things, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of muddy water in fuzzy math, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Yeah.
You know, like I want something, but I need to be intentional about how to get that. That's what you're talking about,
yeah.
right? Working a plan, making a plan to get that clarification, settling in your heart, understanding. But why is that so hard for us to do other than just being over emotional?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we celebrate clarity. I like what Craig Rochelle says, what you celebrate, you'll duplicate.
Okay.
And so meaning, you know, if because clarity is, you know, again, what is news media? First right. on the story. It's knee jerk.
That's right.
Right? It's right now. Decide right now. My son will talk to me. He's like, Dad, I got to do this right now. Right, and he'll get me on the phone and is trying to make me make a decision right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't know all the details.
Which every car salesman wants you to do, right?
Yes.
You got to buy it now.
Buy today. Do it. And I was like, man, I need some clarity. I don't want to make a decision in a vacuum.
Right.
But because we feel pressured to make it now, and or the deal's going to go away, the opportunity is going to go the way, the chance will miss. I won't be able to make the post that I wanted to make. Again, we're steps ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
If we were to step back and celebrate clarity, I think it would, meaning, hey, you took the time to do that. That's something, and we duplicate it, and we'd find that clarity gets put. Has a higher value, and maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe we don't value clarity enough.
Yeah, I mean, me as a younger man, I didn't. Me as an older man, I'm coming to understand, Pastor Antonio, that waiting and the position of patience will clarify positions.
Mm-hmm.
I could wait it out. What's the rush?
Yes.
To make that commitment. What's the rush?
Right.
Why do we have to have that immediate whatever feeling, I gotta have it attitude.
Yeah.
And when we counsel people, we see them switching jobs, moving out of the state,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't like this marriage and running out of it.
Right.
You know, I don't like my children. So what are you going to do with them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we make these knee jerk reaction, mm-hmm. and I don't see Jesus. I don't see a biblical model of that.
Right.
But patience is hard to do.
Yeah.
To wait to a clarified state of mind, body, and spirit, that means that there's going to be some time involved, right?
Well, so then let me ask you this. That's a great thought. And I see you as someone who, and you mentioned when you were younger, what got you to a place to slow down? Because I see you as someone who's more intentional, as someone who is not rushed.
Well, maybe because the rush decisions I've made got me more in a bind or a mess or in a painful position that I could have avoided if I would have just waited it out.
Yeah.
If I would have took the time to pray and ask God, which I want to talk about a little bit, then God can clarify, because really the biblical approach to success is God clarifying our position to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't clarify our position to be successful, that means that we're heading towards whatever we're evaluating our personal success, whatever money venture or business opportunity mm-hmm. that I'm going to have to chase after, and then waste time, energy, and effort and money, and then come to find out I should have never signed that deal.
Right.
I should have never bought that item. I should have, you know, buyer's remorse,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, football season was approaching and I had to buy the biggest TV and now I'm in debt over it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Why do we have to wait? Why can't we plan? And the biblical model is there's always strategic planning and dealings with the heart and testing. Well, but I think clarity to me is something that you need to really endure and personally embrace.
Yeah.
If you're not looking for clarity, you're not going to find it.
Well, and so that brings me to in James. He says, let him ask for wisdom. James says to let him ask for wisdom. And I think sometimes in the wisdom, we like to know. I don't like to go anywhere without knowing where I'm going, right? When we're getting in the car, my wife teased me the other day, though, because I'm like, okay, where are we going? I'll start driving, and I'm like, hey, where are we going? Put up the address. And then the other day she was driving, and I was like, do you know where we're going? And she was like, we're moving, aren't we? I don't even get out of the driveway unless I – so in her mind, I know I'm not even moving this car until I know the end point. But to me, like, dude, I know how to get out of my street. I know how to get out of my neighborhood. I don't need the maps for that. So, but the reason why I bring that up is because we like the full picture. And I don't always believe that the full picture is always clarity, because it's in scripture, we don't see it that way. We don't always see that now there is clarity of the mission. You know, from Abraham, you're going to go there. The mission was clear. The details, the directions were not.
How to get there.
And this is where, this is, I don't think it's completely off topic, but I think people might find themselves, and maybe this is a word for you, where you find yourself on the cusp of a decision, you find yourself on the cusp of something, and you haven't stepped out because you think clarity means the whole picture. Right. And I saw in Isaiah 30:21, the whole verse talks about how behind you you'll hear the words, this is the way, walk in it. And so what it's saying is, to me, it paints this picture. You're already in motion. You're going somewhere. You're in a direction. Have faith that God's going to have your back. And so sometimes you've gotten the word to go, or you've gotten the picture of the mission. So find clarity on the mission of your life, of your marriage, of your family, of your professional career. Get clarity on the mission. And stop waiting for clarity on every other direction.
Yes.
Now, we can get wisdom. We can get a word. Oh, but I want a word. I want a word from a prophet. I want someone to give me a word of knowledge. Get in the word of God and you'll find a word. And here's a word for you today.
Yeah.
Step out and know that God's behind you.
So what was that scripture again?
Isaiah 30:21.
And define that for us again?
Yeah, let me just read the full passage so I can give it in its full context.
Right.
Because context is key here, people.
Yeah, that's right.
but, you know, otherwise, Pastor Joel, and you've seen it. We've seen it so much. People either are sitting on their hands or jumping the gun.
That's right.
And those two extremes are not good for us. And I don't believe that's what God would have for us.
No, and that waste time, energy, and effort. And then we're looking back and saying, God, what happened to me? You let me down. I ran out of money. I ran out of opportunity. And then we're blaming ourselves and others for our misfortune when we could have waited for a clarification, right?
Yes. I got it here. This is the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30. I'll start in verse 20. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Verse 21, your eyes will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go.
So good.
Whether to the right or to the left.
And in that context, it's Isaiah depending fully on the voice of God to lead him.
Yes. And because he said, a few verses earlier, it's talking about the blessings to the Lord's people, where he's assuring them that he's taking care of them.
So in Isaiah's biblical model, clarification comes from voice of God first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not what's in your head.
Yes.
Not what you believe.
Right.
Not what, you know, I'm seeing.
And I do want to bring clarity, because we say voice of God and sometimes we think what God's saying in my spirit.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Do that. Go off what but have some backing from God's word.
Yeah.
Because I think we can get to, and maybe this is a whole another podcast episode, but we love to hear God's voice in our spirit, and thus saith the Lord, and what God is saying. But if it's not backed by God's word, Pastor Joel, I'd venture, you know, that's a little bit riskier, especially if you're newer in your faith, especially if you haven't attuned yourself to God's voice. Because that's, I think that's when, you know, people do things in the name of God told me.
Right.
And then wonder why there's failure or shortcomings.
Well, this is why I believe people don't have the patience to pray, because when they, if they pray and they pray for clarity, they're afraid to hear what they're going to hear.
Come on.
And I don't want to do that.
Yes.
I'd rather do what I want to do.
I've experienced
and
that.
And then let God kind of clean that up mm-hmm. later. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we get into this, you know, fuzzy stuff that is not really healthy or conducive to a growth or an action item or a faith step that God wants us to make.
Yeah.
Prayer is essential for clarity. And if you're not praying, then you're not going to have a clarified position.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said Jesus did it. Daniel did it. I'm going to make references of that. You know, that clarifying your position starts with prayer.
All right. So you're telling me I got to pray. You're telling me I got to work.
I got to wait.
I thought this was going to be the keys. And again, this is where we mess up as a culture, because we want the keys to be press this button.
That's right.
Walk down this road. And there's just no shortcutting the time in prayer, time with the Holy Spirit, getting a word, getting a peace. And, I, you know, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that, Pastor Joe. I wish we had a better, you know.
I agree with you. This transitions me to this next C of success is consistency. What is consistency? It's steadfast in faith and action, reflecting on God's unchanging nature, not merely repeating tasks, but faith in motion. So as God is leading, you're following. That's Pastor Jim's fellowship mm-hmm. book. He defines success as fellowship, because if I'm following God, then I'm going to be successful in everything that I do. But it's consistently following God. Not just, okay, I believe, yes, God gave me a release for this, but being consistent to go after what God. If anything, the Old Testament, you know, fathers taught us, is that consistency over time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get to the promised land overnight.
Yeah.
They didn't get there on a whim.
Yeah.
They got there with years mm-hmm. of toil, sweat, and obedience, and in many cases, disobedience,
right.
to finally end up to that point of demarcation where God says, that's what I want for you.
Well, let me ask you a question, because let's get some clarity on this, because, you know, when you say consistency, are you saying, you know, because again, in culture, are you saying wake up at 5 a.m. every day, go do this, do step that? Because you're losing me right off the bat, right? Because, hey, my week schedule changes, and on this day I'm taking this kid here, and on this day I don't get home from work late. So does consistently mean routine? Or what is the heart? Because I know that's not exactly what you mean. But what is the heart behind? Because if we can come up with every excuse why we can't be consistent in the maybe traditional sense of the word, you know, hey, high performing people wake up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And that, you know, remember there was that guy who blew up on social media.
Yeah, yeah.
He woke up and washed his face with $30 bottles of water.
Yeah,
and he was up before the light. And what are you doing if you're not up at this time? And you just feel like a failure before you even start.
Right. Okay. So that in his lens, he defines success that way. In my lens of using a biblical approach, there's no one that God used or no one that God will ever lead if they're not consistent.
Mm.
Consistency is a pathway to success. Consistency over time.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency over adversity. Consistency over emotion. Consistency over feeling.
Right.
When God calls individuals, and look at the models, Hebrews chapter 11, we see the models of these people over time being consistently formed into what God wants them to do. There's no instant success,
right.
but there's a graduation of consistency. And I really know how to be successful in anything that I touch or do without consistency. If I start a business and say, okay, I'm going to go online and start, you know, doing whatever it is that they're doing, whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're not consistent over time, you're not going to be successful in that business.
Well, so let's take your walks. I know your walks have inspired me, because we can look at it, if we want to look at it in a very strict sense of the word, if you didn't wake up at the same time every day and walk the same amount of time, then that's failing. But what I hear you saying is consistency over time looks like, hey, I got up. One day it was 5. I was a little bit tired the night before. The next day it was 6. If I'm walking my dog, I walk 2 miles. If I'm by myself, I walk 8.
That's right.
It's not, it leaves room for nuance. It leaves room. But the consistent part is I got up, I walked.
But here's the key. I don't stop walking.
Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So. You got up and you did.
Yes.
And so for those who get discouraged because it didn't look one
I've
way in a different
season. I tried the church
season,
thing. I got saved at Easter.
Right.
You know, is that enough?
Well, and look at literal seasons. In the winter when it's dark later, it's cold
that's
in the
right.
morning, it changes the fluctuation of what it looks like, but you're consistently walking.
Your consistency will always be challenged and tested.
That's
and
good.
It's up to you, not God, up to you to right. motivate yourself to continue to walk.
Yeah.
Could he make us walk? Yes. Could he help us walk better?
Yes.
Yes. Can he help us be, defeating the giants of our land? Yes. But that takes consistency. What's your track record of consistency over time is the definition of success according to the Word of God. Because God wants intertransformation, not just you to model.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my pattern of success. Those things could be helpful, but they're not life-changing. It to me was always, okay, consistency starts with the first step, and then the next step, mm-hmm. and then the next step. So you went over this challenge. Okay, God got you into this space where you feel comfortable with a new job.
Yeah.
Now it's learning the skill set of that job. Now it's being tested with the management of that job. Now it's being tested with the time. What if they put that job lands in graveyard shift?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to leave because you don't like the shift?
Right.
Or God gave you that job. What's it going to take for you to keep the job? It's consistency. Mm-hmm.
What's the adage? The only thing that doesn't change is the fact that things change, right?
That's right.
Change is consistent.
it always is. We're always evolving. There's always things. I mean, I have 8 grandkids mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
I didn't before.
Right.
And I look at them different, you know, because they're not my actual kids.
Mm-hmm.
I could spoil them, rot them, and send them to their families.
Right.
And I do.
Yeah.
But I love this space that I'm in now, but if I would have blew up my marriage, if I would have ran from God, if I would have said, you know what, this is just too hard to do relationship, I would never have the beauty of being consistent over time to create that
right.
beautiful family.
Right.
And people often go wrong when they shortchange themselves and not letting themselves grow into positions of what God wants them to.
Yeah.
And that's a takeaway. Why is that a takeaway? Because if you're not patient enough to grow and you try to outsmart yourself, the planning, the formalities, or whatever the tests are, and you fail, you're going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never have what God has for you
mm-hmm.
if you're not consistent.
That's good.
That's the challenge. So God is looking not just at your private life. He's not just looking at your outer life. He's looking at your private life. What are you doing internally to create that consistency over time? That's where devotion to God, prayer, reading the scripture, church attendance, interaction with believers sharpens our tools of our consistency. Because people sharpen people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will have friends that challenge you,
yeah.
test you, get you upset. And I believe those are gifts from God to challenge us for our consistency. Let's say it is helpful, like if you have a workout buddy.
Mm-hmm.
But what if that workout buddy doesn't show?
Yeah.
Are you going to not go to the gym?
Right.
Are you going to stop walking? What if you and your wife get in an argument and you don't like them?
Yeah.
Are you going to give up on your marriage? That's where God calls us to formulate consistency over time. Daniel had it. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel went up to pray to the upper room towards Jerusalem. He knelt he knelt down 3 times a day, consistently praying for God's wisdom, God's character in the early days of God using Daniel. Yeah. Consistent. Yeah. Consistent in prayer. He would open it up, look at Jerusalem, and say, I am claiming, God, that you, I need you for this day and for this time. And guess what? God used Daniel mightily because he was consistent in connecting with God. Jesus, Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew and went to pray. Yeah. Matter of fact, the Garden of Gethsemane, we just celebrated Easter. Something just leaped out at me in the Easter message and looking at the Easter, you know, play that we had, where we often use in our rock altar call, you know, where it's Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. Nicodemus shows up at the end of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. Nicodemus was there.
Yeah.
That means Nicodemus wasn't only called out by the rabbi, Jesus, hey, you need to be born again. He was consistent with his faith at the death of Jesus. Mm. That consistency over time, Jesus' consistency, saying, I need to understand the will of the Father.
That's good.
The Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will. Consistent over time.
Yeah.
He didn't give up, went to the cross, even though it was hard, even though he's looking around him and they're all asleep.
Right.
They gave up.
Yeah.
And he challenged them, hey, may your faith not fail not.
Right.
Pastor Antonio, oftentimes our faith is failing. And what's going to help us is that consistency to plug into what God, when you want to give up, God won't.
Yeah.
So that's where you're dependent on him, not yourself, not your, you know, ego, or not your mentalities, or not your human effort.
Yeah.
It was not human effort that took Jesus to complete his crucifixion.
Yeah.
It was the God effort inside of him and the Spirit of Christ to get to that finish line, that when he said, I gave up my spirit.
Yeah.
And then he resurrected.
Yeah.
And then God was shining in his demonstration of his power of consistency. Imagine if Jesus gave up. Imagine if he was inconsistent.
Yeah.
Imagine if he got out his sandal and hit all the disciples and say, be gone.
Right.
In the Garden of Gethsemane and chased them all away. We never would have started the church.
Right.
The book of Acts would have never been written. He chased all the disciples away because he was unhappy with them.
Right.
Unhappy with their inconsistency because they're falling asleep at the 11th hour.
Which goes back to what I think a real takeaway for me is, consistency isn't always doing the same thing exactly the same. It's just, it's getting up. And I think for the most of us where we live, our everyday life, if we feel like we have to do it every, like that, then we're defeated before. It's like, it's not, it's the fact that these disciples, they got rebuked, they got challenged, but guess what? They didn't give up. They got back in, which again, that leads, I think that the consistency you talked about, moving on to the last point, is fueled by this last point. Would you go ahead and lead us into that last point as we kind of land the plane?
It's commitment, you know? So it all starts in small beginnings.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really does. When you have a challenge, or you just say you need to work on your marriage, it starts small. Mm-hmm. When you need to work on yourself, it starts small. Don't be afraid to start small.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to go eat everything. You just kind of take it by piecemeal. Really, to help you define a biblical model of success, it wasn't that Jesus and his disciples knew all things. Jesus knew all things, but his disciples didn't. He invested 3 years over time to consistently get them to a place where when he left, the Bible says, now you're ready.
Yeah.
So what is the now you're ready in our life, Pastor Antonio? It's that small commitment, like Daniel committed to prayer. Pastor Jim said it this way, commitment without consistency is no commitment at all.
Yeah.
A profound statement from our founding pastor. Why? Because I'm talking to individuals that are being challenged with a consistency because there's no commitment.
Mm.
When you're not committed and you're not sold in, I love when we baptize, because don't we have, we're all in?
Yeah.
We're all in. That all in means that I'm fully committed. Mm-hmm. I'm putting my hand to the plow. I'm not looking to the right or to the left. I'm looking forward, and I'm hopeful and faithful. It might not work out every day. Yeah. I might not like it every day, but I'm committed, because biblical consistency is being loyal to God. And as we look at him and the foundation of his biblical example, and consistency over time is where Deuteronomy said this in the Old Testament. I love the Shema of the Deuteronomy word. Here's the Shema. The Shema is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. He's one with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. You serve him, Israel."
Yeah.
That's commitment. Not just halfway in. God is challenging the people of Israel. It's like this podcast is challenging listeners today. You're all in. Don't go half step.
Yep.
Half tap. Just dip your toe in and say it didn't work.
Right.
Jump in.
Yeah.
And now jump in with clarity.
Yes.
Jump in with, you know, wisdom.
Yes.
Jump in with the biblical mindset.
Yep.
But jump in.
Yeah.
And I believe, because we're not fully committed at something, then we are inconsistent, and the enemy doubles down on that to bring rejection and failure, and that creates this doom. So following through our commitment is what God wants us to do. Following through and being consistent over time. I say that in the altar care room all the time. If you don't follow through, what are you going to now do with the Jesus inside of you?
Mm-hmm.
You want to grow him. You want to make him big. You want to make him better. He's in you.
Yep.
Now you have to do something about it. That's discipleship. Well, what about life? Life is not, you know, I always tell people this way. If you took all this time to get yourself in this mess, it's not going to happen overnight to undo all the stuff that you've seen. It's going to take that commitment to what God wants you to do. Enduring the trials, James says. James 1:12 says, "Endure all trials for blessings to come, and then you'll receive the crown of life." But those are the kind of things that I don't want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to do and endure. I don't want to walk in the rain.
Yeah.
I don't want to be uncomfortable with relationships. If all healing, and I believe this, all healing begins in relationship, all with God and men, then relationships are going to challenge you, Pastor Antonio.
Yep.
They're going to test you. Working around ungodly people are going to, you know, not going to kind of break your spirit. The enemy's going to try to kind of break your, man, I don't like working with this guy. I don't like my boss. You know, I don't like the people I'm around. Well, reframe your mind and your heart, because maybe those trials are to sharpen you and to create a character inside of you that will create a commitment of a consistency over time. If anything, I could tell the next gen to help them to be successful is just be committed.
That's good.
Be committed. It's almost like you know, I've talked to one guy and he was on his fifth job and the year haven't even changed yet.
Yeah.
And I'm telling him, like, how are you going to grow in any job opportunity if you're always switching jobs?
Yeah.
How are you going to grow if you're not fixing the things that challenge you or running from them?
Yeah. I think of a couple of sayings, the grow where you're planted.
That's exactly right.
Grow where you're planted. And then there's this other saying I love. It's be where your feet are. And that is really an important thing, because in the age of social media and the age of comparison, you know, here our feet are. I'm in this podcast with you, but is my mind thinking about where I'm not? About, I wish I was there. I wish I could be there. Here I am sitting in this room. I should be further along. Or then I saw this guy's life. Or, you know, here I am sitting in my position in my office. You're in your house listening to this. And then you're thinking, as you scroll on something else and see a bigger house, and you think, I should be at a bigger house. And we have to be committed to where we are before anything else.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was tested from his commitment.
Yeah.
How was he tested? He said he had stripes beyond measure. He was frequently imprisoned. That he was flogged 40 lashes five times. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked day and night in the deep. His journey was in perilous waters, perilous of robbers, of countrymen, perilous of Gentiles, perilous in different cities, yet he prevailed. Sleepless nights, hungry, thirsty, and fastings, in cold and nakedness. Besides all those things, he was deeply concerned for God's people in the church. He was tested.
Yeah.
And he came through as the Apostle Paul, valiantly committing his life even to his death. Now, why do we celebrate somebody like that in the New Testament? Because that's what it took for him to be successful. Well, Pastor Joel, are you telling me I must die? The Bible says you're unfit to be in the kingdom of God if you're not committed to death. So that's a hard saying.
Yeah.
Especially in this fickle world that we live in.
Yeah.
That we're starting something new. I'm jumping from religion to religion. Mm-hmm. This guy sounds better. This one, you know, I love, you know, what they say, and I'm dismissing. Boy, just be consistent where God's called you, yeah. Right? Where your feet are at. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So I challenge every one of you. Is your commitment being, tested? Mm. Are your relationships being tested? Are where your feet at? Do you want to run?
Yeah.
And avoid the character development, the testing over time, the fruit that can remain if you're consistent? If I pull out every plant in my backyard, I will never create beautiful flowers. If I pull out every tree, I will never have shade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not a Joelism. That's a fact of life. Mm-hmm. If you uproot yourself from everywhere you're at, you're never going to grow.
That's good. So good.
And that's what God wants you to do. And that's why it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. And Proverbs 16:3. And I'm using all these scriptures so you guys can get help by the wisdom of clarity and consistency and commitment that God teaches. Commit your ways to the Lord, and in due season, your plans will be established.
Yeah, I love that.
The challenge is the due season.
Mm-hmm. We don't
like
to wait.
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
I want it now because that's what our culture teaches us. Mm-hmm. That's what TikTok teaches us.
Yeah.
I want it now. I want the answer now. I want the money now. I want the success now. And that is not a reality. The biblical challenge is this. It's overcoming and maintaining consistency through your difficulties, through your temptations, through your weariness will bring you spiritual strength of endurance. And that's the goal. It's not just doing all the three C's that we're talking about right.
Yeah.
It's consistent over time so you could finish the race, so you can complete the task, so you could be married for a lifetime.
Yeah, because even these three C's, if you implement them, you'll need to, they're seed format, you'll need to water them, and you have to wait for them to grow. But the thing is, you'll get to enjoy the fruit.
So let me ask you a real-time question and a real question.
Yeah.
You're in a marriage now. Has it been easy?
No.
Okay, so, but what have you gained by being in that marriage for how long already?
Oh, it's going to be 17 years.
17 years.
Yeah.
So what's the takeaway of you not cutting and running?
Oh, yeah. It's the best. It's the best thing ever. And it's hard. It would have been hard to imagine the beauty of this season when I was in the muck of the hard seasons.
That's right.
We didn't rehearse this question, but if I think about it, the beauty of this season, in the darkest, hardest parts, and I mean, you've been with us all the way along. You married us. It would have not. I don't even think I could have pictured the beauty of this season. Not that this season's perfect, But like it and it was, I think, those difficult seasons that make the beauty of this season all the more sweeter.
Yeah, and where I'm at with that lens is 39 years.
Yeah.
I would not have been a model to broken relationships these many years mm-hmm. if I would have been inconsistent.
Yep.
Because I am consistent.
Yeah.
My relationship is consistent. Mm-hmm. My love for my wife is consistent.
Yeah.
Her love for me is consistent, which now extends deep roots to our family
right.
because we model to right. our kids consistency.
Well, let's look. You got a clarity about the mission that you're going to marry this wife and have a family.
That's right.
You were consistent in showing up.
That's right.
In consistent, and maybe you didn't always feel the same. Maybe you didn't always right. like it, but you were consistent at being present. And you are committed to this relationship, and you're seeing its fruit.
That's
Those
right.
are the things that we talked about today. Pastor Joel, would you wrap us up?
Yes.
Any either closing thought or a prayer?
Well, I mean, my challenge to you is, I know for some of you, you're being challenged with what we're saying. And here's my takeaway to that. Let God use this podcast to help move you forward, even if it's one inch. Because if you're moving forward and not backward, then you're going somewhere. And what I've known about people's success, personal success, success in ministry, is without these three C's, you will never have the fruit that God wants you to have. It will always be inconsistent, and you will always have to be cleaning stuff up. And here, listen to the wisdom of one of the elders. The elders would download this to you. Please, please give yourself a break and have enough courage to be able to do what God wants you to do. Because in time, you will bear that fruit of righteousness. You will see that tree blossom, and you will see that fruit tree grow to have beautiful fruit, because you're not going to live forever. What you invest today will come out tomorrow. And that investment over time, I have this lens. I'm investing. I've invested in you for many, many years and others. That's not the point. The point is God has invested in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get up there to waste that investment.
Right.
So my investment is paid off over time. Am I successful in everything? No, I'm still striving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going after him. But in the long journey with the long lens at looking at the long haul, boy, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay consistent, some of you that were committed to Christ just recently, stay consistent over time. Some of you that are in a new marriage, Pastor, it's hard. You're right. But I'm telling you, God can help you grow together and overcome. You are an overcomer, and you will overcome.
That's good. Amen. Well, guys, we are so grateful that you stayed tuned all the way through. Like, comment, share, subscribe, tell somebody, tag someone below, or send it to somebody that you know will be blessed by it. We want to see you successful. That's our prayer. We're all growing together. We're all doing this together. Rock Life Podcast, signing out. Love you guys. We'll see you next time.